B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Pei Aleph. We're going to start the next Mishnah. Etzim, how much of a bone does a person have to carry in Rosh Hashanah that he should be chayev on Shabbos? Kedei lasois tarvat, enough that he can make with this bone, he can make a spoon out of it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, kedei lasois memenu chof, that you have to carry as much bone as is needed to make a lock. And we'll soon see exactly what that means. Zchuchis, how much glass does a person have to carry to be chayev? Kedei ligroir boy roish hakirkor, in order to scrape the head of a weaver's pick. It was a tool that the weavers would use, and to scrape away the head of that pick, if the glass is big enough to be able to do that, then he's chayev. Tsroir oy even, a pebble or a stone, kedei lizroik boif, if it's big enough, heavy enough, that you can throw it at a bird in order to shoo the bird away, then you're chayev on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov oimer kedei lizroik b'behema. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says the stone has to be big enough that you can throw it at an animal to make it move, and not just at a bird. Says the Gemara, lememra de shiura de Rabbi Yehuda, nofish. And we've seen this in a previous Gemara, that at the beginning of the Mishnah, regarding the bone, the machlekas chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda, the chachomim say that the bone has to be big enough that you could make a spoon with it. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be able to make a lock with it. That seems that the shiur that Rabbi Yehuda needs to be chayev, if you're carrying a bone on Shabbos, is much larger than that of the Chachomim. It takes much more bone to make a lock than to make a spoon. We've seen previously that Rabbi Yehuda is always the machmir, and he's always chayev for carrying on a smaller shiur than the Chachomim, not a bigger shiur than the Chachomim. Oma Ula answers, chofi poisachas. When Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayev for carrying a bone, kedei lasis umenu chof, it doesn't mean a whole lock. It means just the teeth of the lock, that if the teeth, which is one small part of the insides of this lock, is made of etzem, it's made of bone. And if you carry a bone large enough to be able to make that inside, those teeth of the lock, then you're chayev. Tonu rabbonon, chofi Poisachas Tohirin. If somebody's just made the insides of the lock, just the teeth of the lock, or of the key, it's different explanations in the Rishonim exactly how the lock here worked, which type of lock it was. But either way, if somebody just has made from this bone, has made the insides of the lock, but not together with the whole lock, Tohirin, they are Tohir. Because in Tumah and Tahara we have a rule, something can only become Tomei if it's something that can be used. And the insides of a lock on its own cannot be used. Kov'on b'poisachas, once you've put these insides, you've put the mechanism inside the frame of the lock, now it can be used as a lock. Tumein, it's a kli, it's usable, and therefore it can become Tomei. V'shelgal, but if this is a type of lock which is used on a gate, and a gate is typically fixed to the ground, even though it's a fully functioning and fully working lock, it's been tied to the door and fixed with nails, it's still going to be tohir. There's a rule in Tuma that anything that's attached to the ground has the same halachas as the ground. The ground itself cannot become tomei, and therefore anything attached to the ground will not become tomei. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that zchuchis kedei ligrer boy roish hakirkor, a piece of glass, if it's big enough that you can scrape the head of the weaver's pick, then it's significant enough that if you carry it on Shabbos, you'll be chayev. Says the Gemara, Tana, zchuchis, which is also glass. Zchuchis is glass, and zchuchis is glass. Rashi explains that sometimes glass is called zechuchis from the term zach, that it's pure, it's something that can zako, it's refined, it's see-through, and therefore glass is called zechuchis. And sometimes it's called zechuchis from the Lashon of seichin, which means to gaze, because glass is something that's gazed at. Possibly if it's used as a mirror, possibly a window, But either way, it's referring to glass. Schuchis kadei liftzoya boi shnei nimen ka'achas. The amount of glass that you'll be chayiv if you carry on Shabbos is if you can cut two threads of the loom in what with one swipe. The shnei nimen are the two threads, and as long as you can sever two threads in one shot, the glass is big enough for that, then you're chayiv for carrying it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Tsroir oy even kadei lizroik bo'if. The Chachomim say that a pebble or a stone which is big enough that you can throw it at a bird to shoo it away, if you carry it on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer kadei lizrik b'behema, it's got to be big enough that you would throw it on an animal. Omer of Yaakov, omer Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shemargeshes bo. It's not sufficient that the animal gets startled by the fact that something was thrown at it. It's got to be that it actually feels the stone. It could be that even a smaller stone, a larger animal, would get startled by the fact that somebody's throwing something at it, but when it actually hits him, he doesn't feel it. His skin is too thick for that. So the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the animal has to actually feel the stone. That's how heavy the stone has to be, that if you carry it on Shabbos, you'll be chayev. V'kamo shi'uroi, how big does such a stone have to be? Tanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Oimer, Mishkol Asora Zuz, the weight of 10 zuzim. Continues the Gemara. Zunin, which is the name of a person, Ol lebe medrash, he went up to the Beis HaMedrash. Omar luhu, and he said to the Chachomim in the Beis HaMedrash, Raboisai, my Rebbes, Avonim shel Beis HaKisei, the stones that they would use typically to wipe themselves after going to the bathroom, Shi'uron bekama, how large are those stones? And There's a number of ramifications of this. Number one, how large are they that they are actually usable, and then they will be significant enough that carrying them on Shabbos will make a person chayiv, or to allow them to carry them even in a chotzeh, in a Rosh Hashanah, where there's no issues of carrying from one domain to the next, but they are muktzah. And we'll see later in the Gemara that because of human dignity, the Chachomim allowed a person to carry these stones in order to be able to wipe himself. Which types of stones are typically used to wipe themselves, and therefore carrying them on Shabbos will be chayev, and even in a chotzer, they'll be allowed to be carried, even though they should be muktzah. And it's the same shiur. If you're allowed to carry them, even though they're mukta, it means it's usable to wipe themselves. If it's usable to wipe themselves, then they will be significant enough to be chayev if you carry them from one domain to the next on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, how big do these stones have to be? Omrulai. So the Chachomim said to him that there's three stones are typically used. One of them is kezayis, is the smallest one, the size of an olive. The second one, ke'ego, is the size of a nut. And the third one, ukebeitza, is the size of a kebeitza. And Rashi explains that they would first wipe themselves with a smaller stone, and then with a medium-sized stone, and then with a bigger stone. Reversing the order, if a person would first wipe himself with a bigger stone, he would end up smearing the dirt, the excrement, instead of wiping it away. Omar luhu. So he said to them, v'chi turtani yachnis? Do I have to take a scales, a balance, into the bathroom in order to measure exactly which stones? Nimnu v'gomru, so the Chachomim, they discussed it between themselves, they came to the conclusion, m'loy yad, it doesn't matter what size the stones are, any amount of stones or any type of stones that would fill one fistful, that's as much as if you carry a fistful of stones, they are significant enough, you'll be chayiv on Shabbos, and a fistful of stones is what you're allowed to take into the chotzer, into the Beis HaKisei. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Omer, kezayis, keegoyz, ukebeitza. Three stones are used for wiping themselves, and therefore carrying them on Shabbos means they're significant and you'll be chayev. One is the size of a kezayis, one of an egoyz, one is a beitza, which is what the Chachomim first said to Zunin. Reb Shimon ber Reb Yosi Omer, and others say it's Reb Shmuel ber Reb Yosi, says Shum Oviv, in the name of Reb Yosi, Mloy Hayad, a whole hand, and that a handful of pebbles or stones, and that's what the Nimnu v'Gomru, that's how the Chachomim finalized in the Gemara before. Tonu Rabbonon, B'Shabbos Gimel Avonim Mekurzolos Mutar Lachnis L'Beis HaKiseh. One is allowed to take three stones which are sharp-sided. They are Mekurzolos. They have some sharp edges. You're allowed to take them into Beis HaKiseh on Shabbos. V'Kamosh Uron. What's the size of these Avonim Mekurzolos? Reb Meir Oimer Ke'egiz. Reb Meir says all three of them are the size of a nut. Reb Yehuda Oimer Ke'beitzer. Reb Yehuda says all three of them is the size of an egg. Omar Afram Bar Papa Omar of Chizda. K'machleikas kan, in the same way as here in the Braisa. There's a machleikas whether the stones that one is allowed to take into the Beis HaKiseh on Shabbos, in spite of the fact that stones are mukta, is either a kazayis or a kebeitzer. So too, kach machlekes be'esreg, so too, they're arguing about the size, the minimum size of an esreg to be kosher, to be used on Sukkos. Asks the Gemara, hosom masnisin, hocha braisa. I don't understand. You, Rav Chisda, are saying that in the same way as the machlekes here, so too by esreg. Over here it's just a braisa. Over there it's a mishnah. And a mishnah is much more established than a braisa. Elo, you should say it the other way around. K'machlekes be'esreg, in the same way as we found that there's a machlekes in the mishnah for the minimum size of an esreg, kach machlekes kan, so too. Here in the braisa, they're arguing about the size of the stones that they're allowed to take into a Beis HaKiseh on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, Avaloi es ha-poyis. One is not allowed to take poyis into the Beis HaKiseh on Shabbos. My poyis, asked the Gemara, what are these, what it seems to be a type of a stone, a type of a pebble called poyis, what are they, and why are you not allowed to take them into a Beis HaKiseh? Omar of Zera, Kerashinei Bavliyosa. These are not real pebbles, they're not real stones that one can use to wipe oneself, rather they are clumps that can easily get crumbled when used, and these clumps of earth, that they look like pebbles, and they're pebble-sized, but they're going to disintegrate, they're going to crumble, and therefore they cannot be used to wipe oneself, and therefore they are mukta and cannot be taken into a Beis HaKiseh on Shabbos. And they're called Karshine Bavliyasa because they were typically found in Bovel, but the same applies if these pebble-shaped clumps would be found anywhere. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava, Osa Lemashmesh Bitsroir B'Shabbos. It was common if a person was having trouble passing his bowels that they would open the rectal opening to allow the bowels to be released, and they would do that using a stone. So it says here that Rava says, Osa Lemashmesh, you're not allowed to do that Bitsroir with a pebble B'Shabbos on Shabbos, Kederech Shemashmesh B'Choil, in the same way as one would do it during the week, it's Osa to do it on Shabbos. Maskev Lomar Zutra, Marzutra asked, Rava, Listakin? Are you telling me that the person should put himself in danger? We've seen previously in the Gemara, we saw in Brochas Daf Mem Dalad, and in other places, that a person that does not allow himself to release his bowels when he has to, it can be dangerous. Says the Gemara, Kelachar Yad, he is allowed to. He shouldn't do it in the same way as he does it b'choil, during the week. But if he does it with a shinui, if he does it in an abnormal way, with what's called Kelachar Yad, with the back of his hand, if he does it in some unusual manner, then it's mutar to do it on Shabbos. Omer Ebyanei, Im Yesh Mokim Kavua Lebeis HaKiseh. If a person has a fixed place where he always relieves himself, Mloi Hayad, then he's allowed to take a whole handful of stones, because we assume that even if he's not going to use them all, the first time he goes into the bathroom, he'll use them the second time or the third time. They'll all come into use on Shabbos, and therefore, even though stones are mukta, one's allowed to take a whole handful into the Beis HaKiseh. Imlav, if he does not have a fixed place, therefore you're not allowed to take more than the minimum amount that you know you're going to need now. Kehechrea, you're only allowed to take a stone which is called, hechrea is a compromise. And we saw before there's three different sizes of stones they would use. They would use the stone of a kazayis, an egoiz, and a kabeitza. So this type of person, since it's not a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, he should only take the stone the size of an egoiz that he can use to wipe himself. Continues the Gemara. Meducha Ktano Shel Besomim. The translation of meducha is a mortar, which is a vessel that they would use to pound spices to pound their spices. It's probable that the Gemara is actually not talking about the meducha itself, which is the vessel, rather it's talking about the pestle, which is the little stick that was used, a little stone that was used with which they would pound the spices in the mortar, in the meducha. So this pestle, this piece of stone that was used to, that was dedicated and set aside to be used to crush the spices, and crushing spices is osur on Shabbos, so, and since this stone is dedicated for that, it should be muktzah. And now the Gemara is asking, are you allowed to use this stone in order to use it in the Beis HaKisei? Omer of Sheshes, im yesh oleo eid mutar. You're only allowed to use it if there are traces of feces on this stone, and that way we see that it's already been used previously to wipe himself, and therefore a person would not use such a stone to pound, to crush the spices, and therefore it's not dedicated for doing a malacha of crushing the spices, and therefore he's allowed to use it to wipe himself. Meisve, the Gemara is now asking a question on this. Asara dvorim mivienes odom lidei tachtoinies. There are 10 things that could bring a person to chas v'sholem get sick with an illness called tachtoinies. It's to do with the bowels and to do with that area of the body. V'eluhein, these are the 10 things. And we'll see that one of them is going to be using a stone that's already been used to wipe oneself, or to wipe somebody. And here we just said, Rav Sheshes just said, that if you've got traces of feces on the stone, then we assume that it's not going to be used as a pestle, and you're allowed to use it on Shabbos to wipe yourself. And we're now going to see over here in the Braisa that using a stone that's already been used to wipe oneself is actually dangerous. And that's the question that the Gemara is now asking on Rav Sheshes. Ve'eluhein, these are the 10 things. Ha'oichel alei konim, somebody who eats the leaves of reeds. Ve'alei gefanim, or the leaves of a grapevine. Ve'lulovei gefanim, or the shoots of a grapevine. U'mayrigi behema b'loi melech. There are certain portions of an animal that are very ridged, and eating them, it's a very, very rough piece of meat. And there's 3 examples Rashi brings. One is the tongue, the outer skin of the tongue is very rough, or the throat, or the lining of the stomach. And to eat those b'loi melach, when they have not been sufficiently salted and softened, can also cause this illness. The shedrei shel dag, or the backbone of a fish. The dag meliach shel ebishel kol tzorkoi, or a salty fish that's not been cooked enough. Vashoisa shmorei yain, or somebody who drinks the shmorim, the residue of the wine. The mekaneach besid ubecharosis, or if somebody wipes himself with lime or with charosis, which are pieces of pottery. Bitzroyer, or if he wipes himself with a pebble. Shekineach boichaveri, if he wipes himself with a stone that's already been used by his friend. And this is where we're asking the question from. Yesh oimim, and others say, af hatoile atzmei bebeis hakisei, if instead of resting himself on some support in the bathroom, he actually squats. It's like he's hanging himself in a hanging type of position. He's squatting and passing bowels in that way can also cause this illness. So we see from here that somebody who's mekaneach b'tzroir shekinech b'chaveri, if he wipes himself with a stone that somebody else has wiped himself with, it can cause tachtonios. So how can Rav Sheshes say that you can use the meducha k'tano shel besomim if there's aid, if there's a witness, if there are traces of feces on this stone? Says the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to give a few explanations. So the first one is v'loy kashya ha belach, when the feces on it, the excrement on it, are still moist, are still soft, that's when it's osa, that's when it's dangerous. Ha b'yovish, and Rav Sheshes is talking about when it's already dried out, and when the excrement has been completely dried up, it's okay. Iboy Seima, another suggestion. Kan mitzad echod, Rav Sheshes is talking about when only one side of this stone has been used, and he will not use it to pound the spices with it, and he'll use the other side of it to wipe himself. The kan mibeis stodim, and the braisa that says it's dangerous is if this stone has been used on both sides. V'iboy seima, Another suggested answer, Hadi Day, Hadi Chavrei, Rav Sheshes, who says you're allowed to use a stone that's already been used, is if he himself used it. If he himself used it, there's no issue with him using it again. But if somebody else used it, and then this person wants to use it, that's dangerous. Continues the Gemara, Omar Le'abai L'Rav Yosef, Yorda Oleh Gushomim V'Nish Tashtashu, if rain has fallen on this stone and the traces have become smeared, mahu, is it muta, is it osa, what's with it? Omale im hoyo rishum on nikar mutar. All the while that the mark of the excrement are still discernible, then we assume that he's not going to use it to pound spices, and therefore mutar, he's allowed to wipe himself with it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Boy mine Rabbi Bar of Shila mi Rav Chizda. Rabbi Bar of Shila asked Rav Chizda the following question. Ma'u la'aloisam acharov legag. Is he allowed to take these stones, and if he wants to relieve himself on the roof, they didn't have bathrooms like we do available, they would have to go up on the roof. And Rashi explains, do we say that it's too much bother? You're not allowed to do tirchi asiri. You're not allowed to exert too much effort on Shabbos. Is he allowed to take these stones up to the roof on Shabbos? Omar Le, he answered him as follows, Godol kvoida briois shedoicha loisa seshe b'teira. Human dignity is so important that it's even doicha, even overpasses, overrides a loisa se in the Torah. We know that there's an issa, a loisa se, to ignore a lost property, but if somebody returning a certain lost property is against the dignity of that person, for example, if somebody lost an animal and the person who saw it is an old and a very prominent person, an older person, and it's not appropriate, it's very indignified for an old person to walk around with an animal trying to find its owner. So it says in the halacha, it's learnt out from Psukim, that the lav, the issa of ignoring an aveda, does not apply if it's going to be at the expense of human dignity. And if the kovod abrias, if human dignity is enough to override the lois aseh, then of course, over here you're allowed to take these stones up to the onto the roof. And Rashi says that the issa of muktzah that we're discussing here, Tiltul, is only midrabanon, and the source in the Torah that we have to listen to the Chachomim is a lav of loisosor. The Torah says you have to listen to the Chachomim, and therefore this issa of muktza gets overridden by the need to wipe oneself in the bathroom, which is something of human dignity. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Mereimo ko'omal olahoshmaita. Mereimo was sitting, and he said what we just learned now, that Godel kvoid abriyah is shedoiches loisaseh b'shebateira, that even though there's a loisaseh that says that you have to listen to the Chachomim, and the Chachomim said that there's an issa of muktza, nonetheless that gets moved aside if in the place of human dignity. And we can ask a question on that. Eisvei Ravina lemareimer. Ravina asks Mareimer the following question. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, noitel odom Kesam Mishelefonov Lartzoitz Boishinov. If there's a piece of wood in front of a person and he's got a piece of meat stuck between his teeth, he's allowed to take a splinter off the wood in order to use it to separate his teeth, to take out what's stuck between his teeth. The Chachomim say, Lo yitoil elo min ha'ivus shel behema. You're only allowed to take such a splinter from the crib of an animal, which means a place where the food, the animal fodder, has been placed, and anything in that crib is being dedicated as animal fodder, and therefore it's not muktza, and only then you're allowed to take a splinter from there to use to separate your teeth. But you see from here, according to the Chachomim, you're not allowed to take a splinter from a piece of wood that is muktza. And the question is why? Having a piece of meat stuck between your teeth, which is something that is very often visible from the outside, and it's very embarrassing. Why don't we say that human dignity, kvod habriyah, is doicha the issa, and he should be able to take a splinter even from a wood that's mukta? Says the Gemara Hochi Hashta. I'll explain to you the difference. Hosam odom kivya mokim lesuda. Hocha Over there, a person knew he was going to eat, and a person has a fixed place where he eats. And he knew that something might get stuck between his tooth. Why didn't you not prepare a toothpick, as we would call it, a kesam, a splinter? Why didn't you prepare it before Shabbos? You could have prepared it before Shabbos. It was something that you could have known in advance. And therefore, we don't let you transgress muktzah in order to take out the meat from between your teeth. However, in the case of the Beis HaKisei, over there, a person knows exactly where he's going to relieve himself. They didn't have a Beis HaKisei fixed like we do today, and therefore he couldn't have prepared the stones before, and therefore we say that Kvod HaBriyos, human dignity, overrides the Issa of Muktzah. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Huna, Asur Lefanois Bestay Nir B'Shabbos. One's not allowed to relieve oneself in a freshly ploughed field on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Mai Tama, what's the issue? And the Gemara is going to have a number of different suggestions. Ilema mishum davsha, are you worried that you're not allowed to tread on a freshly ploughed field? Your friend has just ploughed the field, and if you trample on it, he's going to have to plough it again, and you're causing him monetary loss. If so, afilu b'chol nami, even during the week it should be asa. Ve'elo mishum asovim, we're worried that you're going to use a stone to wipe yourself, and on that stone, because of the humidity and the dampness that's consequent from the ploughing, some grass or moss has grown on the stones, and when you come to relieve yourself, then you're going to detach the grass from these stones. Ela mishum asovim, v'homer Shlokish said, Sroel she'olu boy asovim, a stone that the grasses have grown on it, mutar lekaneach bo, one is allowed to wipe oneself with it, and even though some of the grasses may get detached, Rashi says it's a dovah she'ena miskaven, and it's mutter d'alocha k'Reb Shimon. The halacha is like Reb Shimon, that dovah she'ena miskaven, to do a malocha unintentionally, is mutter, and it's not psik ratio, it's obviously not inevitable. It could be that no grass will get detached. And therefore, Rish Lakish says that you're allowed to mutal kanech bo. You're allowed to wipe yourself with it on Shabbos. So why does Yerav Huna say you're not allowed to wipe yourself if the reason was that you're concerned about the detaching these grasses? And then, by the way, Vatoilash Mimeno b'Shabbos chayev chatos. Rish Lakish says you're allowed to wipe yourself with these stones even though there's grass growing on them. But if you intentionally detach the grass from these stones, you're chayev on Shabbos. But since you're allowed to wipe yourself with it, it cannot be that that was the concern of Rav Huna. Elo, the Gemara gives a third suggestion. Dilma nokit mi'iloi, you're going to take a stone that was on the surface of the field, v'shoda l'satoyim, when you're finished with it, you're going to throw it into a hole which is lower down. U'mechayev mishum derabba, you're going to be mechayev because of something that Rabba said. D'omer Rabba, Rabba said, hoy soloi gumo, if somebody had a hole on the floor, v'timimo, and he filled up the hole, v'bayis, if this happens inside his home, chayev mishum boine, leveling out a floor in a home is considered building. Basoda, and if this is in a field, and here we're talking about a field, chayev mishum chayrish, it's to do with chayrish, because flattening out a field after it's been ploughed is consequent and the continuation of the ploughing, and it's also on Shabbos. And the Gemara land finishes off. That is why Rav Huna said you're not allowed to relieve yourself in a freshly ploughed field. And the reason is because of chayrish, because you might take a stone and fill up one of the holes with it. Continues the Gemara. And we're going to now go back to Rish Lakish. Gufa, Omer Rish Lakish, Tzrer She'olu Bo Yasovim, a stone that was on the ground and there was grass growing on the stone, Mutar Lekaneach Bo, you're allowed to wipe yourself with it on Shabbos, v'atoylish rimeno, but if you intentionally detach the grasses from it with Shabbos on Shabbos, chayev chatos, you're going to be chayev chatos. Omer of Papa, shma minom midresh lokish, from the fact that Resh Lakish has no problem that you're taking a stone that has grass growing on it and you're lifting it off the ground, it seems that high parafisa, this perforated flower pot, a flower pot that's got holes, and that really means that there's no separation between the earth in which the flowers or the seeds are growing and the ground, and because of the holes, And if you move them, if they were sitting on the ground, like this stone was sitting on the ground, and you lift it off the ground, it's not considered that you're severing this flower pot from its source of nutrition, and it should be mutter, shari little tule, because otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to lift this stone. This stone that has grass growing on it is obviously is sucking its nourishment from the ground. Lifting it up should, would seem, or could sever its source of nourishment. And Rish Lakish said you're allowed to lift it in order to wipe yourself. So you see that it's not called toilish. It's not called that you're severing the grass from its source. So according to Rish Lakish, one would be allowed to lift up a perforated flower pot on Shabbos. Maskeflor Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, 1 minute, go easy. It's true that because of Kvod HaBriyos, we allowed you to use this stone, even though there's grass growing on it. But im omru letzeirich, that's because there's a tzeirich. Yoimru shelo letzeirich. Does that mean that we're allowing you now to move around flower pots? No. If you move around the flower pot, then it's going to be osar. It's only going to be osar midrabbonon, because we'll soon see in a minute. But it's going to be osar. If you need it to wipe yourself, if you need to move this stone, we allow you to move the stone on Shabbos. Omar Abaya. Abaya says, Parpisa, this perforated flower pot, hoil va'osa liyodon, since we've mentioned it, leimu be'milsa, I want to say another halacha regarding the same flower pot. Hoya munach al gabi karka, if it was resting or sitting on the ground. Ve'hinichay al gabi yaseido, so you lift it off the ground and you put it onto a piece of wood, or you put it onto a stone, you take it off the ground. Michayev mishum toilish. He's going to be chayev. It's only going to be also midrabbonon. It's not chayev min ha-teira. Because if it was chayev min ha-teira, then you would not be allowed to use such a stone to wipe yourself. So it must be that lifting up such a stone and lifting up the flower pot, it's not considered severing it from its source of nourishment. It's still somehow getting its nourishment from the ground, even though it's been lifted off the ground. Nonetheless, the Rabbanon said it's an issa of toilish. Hoya munach al gabe yaseido is v'nicha al gabe karka. If this flower pot was initially on a beam or something lifted off the ground, and v'nicha al gabe karka, and he lowers it and puts it directly onto the ground, chayev mishum noiteh, then midrabbanon is going to be chayev for planting, even though it was already attached to the ground, somehow it was sucking its nourishment from the ground, even when it was off the ground, as we saw before. And therefore, it's not a noitea, it's not planting minatera. But the Chachomim said it's considered planting because you're drawing it closer to its place of nourishment from the ground, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And Rashi here explains that even though we said before that the is of mukta, which is not chiyuv koros, it's not an is a chiyuv of skila, The Torah said, "Godel kved abriyos shedoicha lois aseh shebateira." Human dignity overrides the issa of mukta, and the issa of mukta is an issa derabbanon of tiltul is only derabbanon, and the chiyuv to listen to the rabbanon is lois asur, and that lav was moved aside in the place of human dignity. However, to do a melacha deraisa mamash on Shabbos, in the event that this would have been toilish or Noitea, if it would have been a proper melacha, which if it's done intentionally as a chiyuv koros and with edim it's skila and chatos, it cannot be that the chachomim would have allowed us to do that even in the place of human dignity. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Also lekaneach becheres b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to wipe yourself on Shabbos with broken pieces of earthenware. My tam. Why not?" And the Gemara is going to give four suggestions. Ilema mishum sakona. Are you going to say the reason you're not allowed to wipe yourself with these broken pieces, these shards of earthenware, is because it's dangerous? You might cut yourself. Afila b'chol nami. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Osa lekaneach becheres b'Shabbos." It seems that during the week it's mutter. It can't be you're concerned about the danger. Ve'elo, second suggestion, mishum kshofim. We'll soon see somebody wipes himself with cheres. It's witchcraft could happen to him. they could be used against him. Afila b'chol nami loy, in which case it should be also even during the week. Ve'elo, the third suggestion, said the Gemara, mishum hashoras nimin, using these pieces of earthenware, you might cut away some hairs, and cutting hairs off is also on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, dovro she'ein miskavinu. The halach we're soon going to see, this is Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Yechonon paskins like Rabbi Shimon, that says dovro she'ein miskavin is muta. Since he doesn't want to sever these hairs, then it's muta. So why would Rabbi Yechonon say you're not allowed to use the cheres on Shabbos if it's muta? And obviously it's not a psik reisha, because otherwise it would be also, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Omar luhu Rabbi Nosson bar Oishia said, Gavra Rabba Omar Milsa, since Rabbi Yechonon, a great person, said this halacha, name a botama, I'll give an explanation. Loimi boya b'choil d'osa. It's taken for granted that during the week it's osa, because of sakona, it's dangerous, and because of the witchcraft. Aval b'shabbos, but regarding Shabbos, where I may have thought, hoil v'ika teiras kliolov, I may have thought that, what are the two options? Either using pebbles and stones, which are intrinsically mukta, or to use this cheres, and we're going to see later in a Gemara on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, that there are different uses for these shards of earthenware, and therefore they're called kalim, they're called vessels, they're not mukta. So I may have thought that it's, because on Shabbos we don't want to transgress mukta, it's preferable to use these cheres, these shards of earthenware, which are called kalim and are not mukta, rather than using pebbles that are mukta. Hoyil, I may have thought, v'ikateras klialov shapir domi, we should rather use them. Komash malon b'yechnan is coming to say, no, don't use them, since there's either sakona, it's dangerous, or because of the witchcraft, and therefore, even though you'll have to resort to using mukta on Shabbos, rather use the mukta that's safe than use these kalim that are not safe. Chumash Malon. Rava masni lo mishum hashoras nimin. Rava explained Rabbi Yechonon, saying the reason was that he might sever some hairs. V'kashele Rabbi Yechonon ad Rabbi Yechonon. And he asked a contradiction from Rabbi Yechonon to himself. Mi omer Rabbi Yechonon osa lechkaneach b'cheres b'Shabbos. Could it be Rabbi Yechonon says you're not allowed to use these shards because you're going to come and cut away some hairs? Alma dovo she'ein miskaven. Also, that would mean that Rabbi Yechonon holds that even doing a melacha shaloi b'miskaven, not wanting to do the melacha, nonetheless it's also. V'ha'omar Rabbi Yechonon, but Rabbi Yechonon says halacha k'stam mishnah. The halacha is like a stam mishnah. It's a mishnah without a name of who said the halacha. And halacha is like a stam mishnah, and utnana says in that mishnah, nozir, a nozir who's not allowed to cut or sever any of his hair, choifef, he's allowed to rub or mefasfes and disentangle his hair with his hands. Avaloi soirik, he's not allowed to use a comb. And so you see here that Rabbi Yechonon says that halacha is like this mishnah, that says that you're allowed to, with your hands, you're allowed to rub his hair, even though it could be that he's going to sever some hairs. He's allowed to disentangle his hair. Maybe he's going to sever some hairs. So we see from here, Rabbi Yechonon paskins like that Mishnah, and that Mishnah seems to say, Dovo she'einim miskaven is muta. So, and if Rabbi Yechonon holds Dovo she'einim miskaven is muta, why should he not be allowed to wipe himself with these cheres? Elo mechaver to Rabbi Nosson bar Oishia, and therefore we have no other choice. The only reasonable explanation for Rabbi Yechonon is the last explanation said by Rabbi Nosson bar Oishia, and he explained that the chiddush of Rabbi Yechonon is that even though you'll have to resort to using mukta rather than using a kli, you should not use the kli because of the dangers involved. Says the Gemara, Mike Shofim, what witchcraft are you worried about here? You're wiping yourself with some shards of cheres, with some broken pieces of earthenware. Where does witchcraft come into it? Kihad Rav Chisda v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the following story that happened with Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Hava ka'ozlu ba'arva, they were going on a boat. Omra luhu ha'umat renisa. This non-Jewish noblewoman said to them, Oisvon ba'daichu, take me with you. V'lo yosvu, they refused. Omra ihi milsa, she said some spell of witchcraft. Osrusa l'arba, and they immobilized the boat. From that point, the boat didn't move. Omru inhu milsa. So these Chachomim, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Bar Avohna, they also said something, Shir Yuha, and then the boat got released and it continued traveling. And Rashi here says that what they said was, they said a spell, but they didn't Chas V'Shalom say a spell of witchcraft. They said a shame, one of the holy names, and they said it B'Tayra, and that's not witchcraft. And the Bach here on Rashi says that Rashi in Chulin doesn't like this explanation, and there Rashi says that they actually used witchcraft, and it was mutter because they had to save themselves, otherwise they would be stuck at sea. There is another explanation which is interesting. It's brought b'shem the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that it should say here that Omru Inhu, not Milso, which means they said a word, it means Milas, Mem Lamed Tov, and in some old versions of Shas, it says Mem Lamed Tov with two little lines in between, showing it's an abbreviation. They said three words whose Rosh Teves is Mem Lamed Tov. What is that? Mechashefa loisechaya. Somebody who's practicing witchcraft should not live. And saying those three words is a skula, is what helped them overpower the powers of this witchcraft. Omra luhu, so this woman who used the witchcraft against them said to them, my eved luhu, I can't do anything. None of my witchcraft will work against you, because in order for my witchcraft to work against you, you have to be doing one of the following, and none of you are doing any of the following. What do you have to do in order for witchcraft to be able to harm a person? And what were they not doing? They were not wiping with themselves with this earthenware, and since they were not doing that, witchcraft couldn't apply to them. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That is what the witchcraft that the Gemara was worried about, that Rabbi Yochanan, who said you're not allowed to use cheres to wipe yourself even during the week, would be a problem of witchcraft. Another thing that one should not do in order to stay safe from the witchcraft, v'loikotil l'chu kino amenaychu. You don't kill lice whilst the lice is still on a garment. V'loisholif l'chu yarka. You don't pull out a vegetable from a bundle of vegetables, va'ochilu, and eat it, mikisha, from a bundle, da'osir ginar, that was tied by a gardener. Somebody who does that is, witchcraft can happen to them, can harm them. And since Rabban of Chizda didn't do any of these, therefore this woman's witchcraft could not harm them in any way. Nimiritz Hashem, in the next shiur we'll continue from here.